Hi, this is Maria Olson. You may know me from Trophy Heads or Starry Eyes and maybe Paranormal Activity 3. And I want to welcome you to Anthony T's Horror Show because it's an awesome show.
Hi, my name is Jessica Cameron, and you're listening to Anthony T's Horror Show.
Hey, fellow horror fans. This is Troy Escamilla, the director of Party Night and Mrs. Claus, and you are listening to Anthony T's Horror Show. Enjoy.
Welcome to another edition of Anthony T's Horror Show. I'm Anthony T. In this edition, there is no guest because I've got a lot to get to, including my thoughts on the Severed Limbs Virtual Film Festival, which is pretty much an online film festival that I watched, which was recently, which was presented by Without Your Head podcast. I'll give you my thoughts on what were some of the best films from that. I'll also be going into the death of movie theaters. That's right, this is just my opinion, but I truly believe we're starting to see the end of the movie theaters. Ever since Universal recently announced that they are moving most of their films to VOD, it's caused an uproar in the theatrical system. Yes, they are still going to be putting out films in theaters, but this is going to be very controversial among theater owners. And why I think it's a good idea that Universal Pictures is doing it. Because given the times right now, it's probably a good idea. But I'll go more into that later in the show. But first, I have the news. And the news starts off with probably another big story. And that is Hellraiser. Remember a while back that it was announced that David Bruckner will be directing the film version of Hellraiser. Now Deadline recently broke a story about the Hellraiser TV series. Now when I first heard about Hellraiser being both a TV series and a featured film, I thought it was a very bad idea. Because you cannot have a TV series and a feature film at the same time. More than less, rebooting it. But I'm starting to come around it a little bit, actually. The film is going to be directed by David Bruckner, who's been a part of anthology horror films such as VHS and Southbound. But I really think the TV series right now is the better of the two Hellraiser projects. As they really released some major news about the TV series, which is mind-blowing. First, Hellraiser, the TV series, has a network, finally. It was revealed that HBO will be airing the series. Now that is a very good network to go with, because now you can go and push the boundaries with it. You don't have to worry about content because HBO is a pay channel, meaning you have to pay for it to get the channel. So you don't have to worry about it being sanitized to the point where it's aired on national TV over the air. Because with HBO, you can pretty much do whatever you want. You can be as violent as you want on HBO. And I do foresee this series being that way. Which leads me to the next mind-blowing announcements. I said announcements. Because directing this series will be none other than David Gordon Green, as he's scheduled to direct the pilot in several more initial episodes of the series. That's a very good pickup for this series because David Gordon Green can direct horror. To see the Halloween reboot, see why Halloween Kills is one of the most anticipated horror films of the year. Getting David Gordon Green to direct the pilot in several more initial episodes is a very good idea and gives the project credibility for us horror fans. That you probably know this is probably going to be a good show because his name is attached to it. What also makes this going to be a very good show is the other announcement. It was also announced that Michael Dougherty, the director of Krampus and Trick or Treat, will be writing the screenplays for the series alongside Matt Verheiden. This is turning out to be something that is definitely going to be one of the most anticipated horror projects on television in quite some time. Because with David Gordon Green and Michael Dougherty attached to the Hellraiser project, this is by far the better of the two Hellraiser projects. And quite frankly, this is the one that I'm most interested in and probably most horror fans as well. I really cannot wait for this project to start filming. It will be very interesting to see who gets cast for this project. But it's off to a very good start with David Gordon Green directing several episodes and Michael Dougherty co-writing screenplays for the episodes. I really cannot wait for the new Hellraiser project to be released and to be shown on HBO. And if there's another thing that makes it very good, it's not going to be connected with the film. And that's probably a good idea, as it's probably best off for all parties if the TV series is one entity and the film is another entity, because it can just get downright confusing real quick. So I really cannot wait for this project to start filming, because it's going to be one of the most anticipated horror series in quite some time once a release date comes out. Next up, Daft Punk will be scoring Dario Argento's next film, Black Glasses. Now, take this as a rumor, but it really looks like we're going to get an interesting score for Dario Argento's next film. At least he's going back to the giallo genre. Let's hope he doesn't remake Giallo, because that was completely horrible. But I was blown away when that was announced, because for those who don't know Daft Punk, they're more like electronic music duo from France. They're mostly known for a big single called One More Time back in 2001, where it was a big hit. They've also done a great score for Tron Legacy in 2010. So this is a very interesting pairing if it's true. But I'm right now sourcing the article on Bloody Disgusting. Black Glasses is Dario Argento's return to the giallo genre. And this is a film I cannot wait personally. If this is true that Daft Punk is scoring the film, then by far it's going to have a very good soundtrack. Because if you saw Tron Legacy, that soundtrack was very good. But right now this is just a rumor. But it's very interesting that Dario Argento would go with a popular electronic band from the early 2000s. And who has scored a major Hollywood film like Tron Legacy. It's a very good idea, I think, if true. But then again, it's just a rumor based on a story on BloodyDisgusting.com, so don't take it at face value. But personally, I hope it's true. And finally, we got some bad news. I hate to bring this up, but the organizers behind TerrorCon recently announced that the convention is being postponed due to what's going on in the world right now. There has been no new date yet on when the show is happening, but stay tuned. With that, that's the news. Every day there's a family struggling with hospital bills to care for their sick child who is fighting an illness. There's a woman who is fighting breast cancer and is having trouble making ends meet while paying for their treatment. And there are burn victims that are going through treatments to heal their deep wounds. There is a charity in the horror community that helps these people. Scares That Care is an organization that helps families deal with the bills for their child. They help women get the treatment they need to fight breast cancer, and they help people who are dealing with severe burns get the help they need to heal. Scares That Care is a 100% volunteer organization and 501c3 nonprofit charity that is dedicated to helping these people in fighting real monsters. To find out more information or to donate to Scares That Care, you can go to www.scaresthatcare.org. Every donation helps Scares That Care fight real monsters. Besides Anthony T's horror show, you can also listen to these other fine podcasts on the Doc Discussions Network. Doc Discussions, hosted by Philip Perrone and Michael Darwin. You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast. Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, a Westworld podcast. Halloween Boutique, Psychotronic Reviews. And Searching for American Gods. You can find Doc Discussions on the web at www.docdiscussions.com. And Doc Discussions is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Welcome back. Recently, yours truly had the courage, and I'll say this loosely because I'm one of those people that really doesn't stay up to 1 or 2 in the morning, or 2:30 to be exact, and hang around for 6 hours and watch a film festival. Online, nonetheless. And not even on my television. But yours truly did it, as I recently spent like 6-7 hours watching the Severed Limbs Film Festival. Now, this was an online film festival presented by Without Your Head podcast. And I have to say, this was a really great time. I want to first thank Neil Jones for putting this film festival together, as it really brought out some really good films. I had a fun time. I know they're having plans for a second one, which is supposed to take place in the summer. I'll keep you informed when that happens, when a date's announced. You'll find it on the Anthony T's Horror Show Facebook page, and also here on the podcast. So definitely check it out when it happens again in the summer of this year. And once I have a date, I will pass it along. But there are 3 films in this film festival that I would like to talk about. These are the films which I thought personally were the best films that were screened at that film festival. As there was like 38 short films. It was crazy. It went like way over 6.5 hours. But still, it was a very fun time. And it was definitely a great escape from all the goings on in the world today. These 3 films I'm about ready to talk about are films that I thought were very good films, to the point that they definitely deserve mention here. And the first film I'm going to talk about is Cloud. Now, this is a very trippy short from start to finish. One of the things I really enjoyed about that film was its direction. I like how Larry Allen does a very good job making sure that his direction has an unkiltered balance, because there are really some surrealistic scenes in this film, which work very perfectly. I liked how he really does a good job with the way he handles the gore effects in this film, as that is truly one of the things I really enjoyed, especially the ending of that short film, as that was just crazy. And it also helped that this was well made. Larry Allen takes his time to make sure that his direction is very good. Everything is so engaging. It's something that you want to see in short stories or featured films. This is definitely one of my favorite ones of this online film festival. It is probably one of the most bizarre ones that was shown during the film festival, and you can definitely check this film out on YouTube. I will be posting a link on Anthony T's Horror Show's Facebook page. And if we go on to the Anthony T's Horror Show official site, I'll also post the video as well in the episode notes, because I really believe people should see this short film, as this is very trippy and very edgy. It's not for everyone. That's all I'm going to say. The next film that stood out for me was Balatamane. And yes, this is a very hard name to pronounce, so if I pronounce it wrong, I apologize. It is really a tough name to pronounce. It's a film that really deals with ballet. So that's what the meaning of that word is. So with that said, this is really a great film. The short film really reminded me of Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan. The film had a very dark and gothic tone to it, which I really liked. It really helped separate that film from all the other films that was screened there. Director George James Frazier does a very good job with the directing here, as the directing is what really makes this film very good. Because this is a film that pretty much has very few dialogue, and sometimes it can be tough for a horror film to work when it mostly relies on dialogue-less scenes. But Frazier does a very good job in handling those scenes. He does that in a way that he makes sure the look had a very dark, gothic, sinister feel to it. It helped make this film stand out for me. He also did a very good job in the way he directed the lead performance in the film, as actress Courtney Costa does a very good job in making her character very dark, very sinister throughout uttering a word. And that really what made this film work, because this is a film that has very few dialogue in it, and this is like a 20-minute short film, but I really like the way Costa conveys her mannerisms. It really helped add a darkness to her character that is needed strongly for the film to succeed, and she does that very well. The film also has some very good scenes that really stand out, including the whole ritual scene and the ending. And I also like the fact that this film is mostly reliant on atmosphere instead of action. That's what really made this a very good film for me to watch, because I'm a fan of those films that take risks and rely on what's on the screen instead of having endless amounts of dialogue, because you can tell a story without saying a single word. George James Frazier does that very well, and it's really what made this film excellent. Finally, my favorite film out of the whole Severed Limbs Film Festival was a film that was the last film in the festival, a film called Box, as that film I thought was very great from start to finish. One of the things I really enjoyed about this film was the fact that this film told the story through the main character's state of mind. It really made this one very creepy, very dark. and very sinister. Director Lee Thangkam, if I'm pronouncing it right. If not, I apologize. That's just like a tough name to pronounce. So, I apologize if I pronounced it wrong. But he really does a very good job with the way he directs this film. I thought he does a really good job making sure the film had a very dark tone throughout. Whether it's the way that he directs the main actor in the film to making sure that this film has a consistent tone. It really helped this film a lot as it really kept the focus of the film with the character's state of mind. The short film also has an orchestra-like score, which really added to this film, I think, because it really made this very dark and dreary, as this was a very completely dark film from start to finish. And the other thing I really liked about this film was Jimmy Dempster's performance. He does a great job making sure that his character shows a lot of emotion, because his performance is what drives this film. If you don't have a really good performance like Jimmy Dempster had with The Box, this film could just be another film. It could be just boring and dull, because the material in this film is very dark and gloomy. But Jimmy Dempster does a great job making sure that the character that he plays is very tormented throughout, as it really helped this film feel like a very serious horror film and a very interesting character study. His performance in that film really left an impression on me, because I really would love to see what he does next, as I really think he could be a very good indie horror actor, as he really can do the material like this and do it very well. I wonder what's next for him, because I wouldn't mind seeing him in some more indie horror features in the future, as I truly think Jimmy Dempster can be an actor that can really help a lot of indie films out there. Definitely try and seek out Box, as it's currently available on YouTube. I hope you enjoyed my review of the Severed Limb Film Festival, and I also want to extend my thanks to Neil Jones again for putting this on. Definitely check out his podcast, Without Your Head Radio, at withoutyourhead.com, and can't wait for the second edition of the Severed Limbs Film Festival this summer.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
This is Carrie.
This is Billy.
This is Mr. Bo.
And we are from A Podcast from Beneath. You can catch us every Wednesday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Steven Christina. I am the founder, owner, creator, and host of Super Retro Throwback Reviews. Are you looking for the best movie reviews, music reviews, video game reviews, and Comic-Con coverage all around? Well, then look no further. Definitely check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on YouTube and our new audio podcast, the new and improved Super Retro Throwback Reviews Audio Files version 2.0 on the following media distributors: Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify.
Class is over, John! Time for something new and improved!
The following commentary contains views that are not representative of the Doc Discussions Network, meaning they're the views of mine and mine only. Welcome back. Recently, Universal Studios dropped a major bombshell, and it is in regards to the future of distribution. As you can see lately, they've been starting to throw their movies on a VOD, charging $19.99 for them, and that is for a first run film. Now, I read an article on IndieWire, and they cited an article in the Wall Street Journal that when theaters reopen, premium VOD is going to be part of the new normal. And this is coming from a person familiar with the matter of the release of Trolls World Tour. Now, yes, I know that's a kid's film, but that was a first run film that was originally going to be in theaters, but what happened with the pandemic and everything, they decided to move the film to VOD because, well, theaters aren't open, quite frankly. And they used this film as an experiment to see if a first-run top-tier film can survive on VOD for $20. And according to the person familiar with the matter of the film, that film has generated $100 million in revenue in 3 weeks. More than the original Trolls when it came out in theaters in 2017. In a quote from parent company CEO Jeff Shell, he said, "As soon as theaters reopen, we can expect to release movies on both formats." That's right. Meaning Universal Pictures will be releasing films in theaters and on premium VOD at the same time. Now, this is a game changer here. If Universal Pictures is going through with this, this is a major game changer in how films are going to be distributed in the future. And I have to say, I can't blame Universal Pictures or Universal Studios. Pretty much the same thing. Now, this is very big, because this will be the first major studio to release top-tier releases on VOD. Now, lately, I've been a proponent on VOD, because I'm a person that really supports physical media. But with what's going on right now, with the whole pandemic and everything, I really think this is a great idea by Universal Studios, and it really changes the game on distribution. And it really makes me wonder if other studios are now going to follow that same trend. Because for a while, the theater business has been dying a slow death. You know it, I know it. I've always been one to support the theaters. I like to see films with people. Quite honestly, there's no way you can replicate that when you're at home. But with everything going on right now, I'm actually for this split where you can release films in theaters and on VOD. It's just because, quite frankly, you don't know how many movie theaters are going to open up in the coming months. Let's face it, some states will have stricter social distancing policies, meaning that theaters would only be able to sell a set number of tickets. Say you have like a 200-seat theater, and state restrictions tell you you can only sell 75 to 100 tickets, depending on the size of the theater. You would automatically have to think that whenever theaters go back to normal and start opening up again, they're going to only be allowed to sell half of the tickets of the screening room. And that's not going to make a lot of movies profitable, quite frankly. And you may see more films get pushed back if they don't go the VOD route. Because quite frankly, once theaters start opening again, you're not going to be allowed to sell 200 tickets in your 200-seat theater. Because there's no way that is going to happen once theaters reopen. And then you have to deal with various other social distancing guidelines. You can only have like 5 people in a group. I could see a scenario where some states don't even open movie theaters for quite a while. Because, well, let's take Rhode Island for example. Right now we have a social distancing policy where you can only be in groups of five. That probably means only five people can enter a 200-seat theater. How is that going to be profitable for the studios when they're going to have a set limit when they reopen? So by going the VOD route and also releasing it in theaters, it'll give films a chance to make a profit, quite frankly. And that's how the business is changing as we speak, because it's becoming very hard to put films in theaters. I don't know how they're going to put Christopher Nolan's new film in theaters in July if a lot of these social distance rules are still in effect. Because if you have a movie theater where you can only allow 50 people per screen, films are not going to make a profit. So I really commend Universal Studios for really thinking outside the box here and really proclaiming to expect films to be released on both formats. Because I live in Rhode Island, and I got a feeling movie theaters will not be opening anytime soon here. Now, speaking of Universal Studios, they have two big horror movies coming out. We're going to see maybe in the next couple months if they really mean what they're going to say. Because they have two of the most anticipated horror films coming out this year. First, Candyman on September 25th. Then 3 weeks later, on October 16th, Halloween Kills comes out. We will probably know this summer if A, both Halloween Kills and Candyman come out this year, and B, if they do, will they also be out on VOD same day as theaters? It's going to be an interesting couple of months because, let's face it, these two films are major releases. And if Universal says what they are planning to do and go ahead with releasing these films and releasing them both on VOD and in theaters at the same time, it's going to be a very interesting fall. Because quite frankly, at this point, we don't even know if these films are going to be released this year. As we still have those films that have to be released. We still have Spiral from the Book of Saw, which hasn't gotten a release date yet. Then you also got A Quiet Place Part 2 in November. I have a feeling at least one of them will end up on VOD. And with this whole Universal thing, you could see at least two of them. You could still see zero films. You could also see those films get pushed back to 2021. There's a lot of uncertainty right now with the whole distribution model, the whole theater business, and its future. We don't know what's going to happen with these major horror films. And it goes back to, we don't know what's going to happen with the method that these major studios are going to use in distributing these films. Because I could clearly see a lot more films on VOD now. Because Trolls World Tour is a success. And I can also see the end of the movie theater upon us. Because, let's face it, studios can make a hell of a lot more money on VOD than theaters. And I'll tell you now how they do that. When they split money with the movie theaters, it's 55-45. When they split money with VOD providers, it's around 80-20 in the studio's favor. I can really see the beginning of the end of theaters across this country. Because I know people love to see big event movies together. But the theater business is going to get hit hard once it reopens. And the sad thing is, we don't know when theaters are going to reopen. I know they're open in some states. But some states may decide to keep it closed for a longer period of time. So right now, I really think the VOD system is probably the best way to go for major studios to release content. I don't want to say this, but the way things look at this moment in time, it may be weeks or months before some of these states can even reopen movie theaters, quite frankly. And that's why if studios are going to survive, they're going to need to start releasing some stuff on VOD. I don't want to say this because I love going to a movie theater, but this is the only way we're going to be able to get new content in some states is through VOD. Because if you release a tentpole film right now, it's going to die a horrible death at the box office because there are not enough theaters open to support that release. Stay tuned, but this pandemic may as well have been the death knell to movie theaters. Because, quite frankly, not a lot of people are going to be rushing back to a movie theater. And the studios probably know that. Well, Universal Studios knows that. And that's going to force them to change their business model. And don't be surprised if other studios follow suit. For the latest news and information on Anthony T's Horror Show, you can check out Anthony T's Horror Show on his social media platforms at Anthony T's Horror Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Slasher app at Anthony T's Horror on Twitter. Anthony T's Horror Show can be found on YouTube as well at youtube.com/AnthonyTherber. You can find Dr. Discussions on the web at www.drdiscussions.com. And you can find Anthony T's Horror Show on the web at anthonytshorrorshow.blogspot.com. Welcome back. Now, I have an update on the whole Universal Studios VOD saga. As I mentioned that they will be releasing films on VOD the same time as it is in theaters. Well, some news broke after I recorded that segment that AMC Theaters has banned Universal Studios from releasing any of their films at their theaters. You knew that something like that was probably going to come because the theaters have been complaining about this distribution window, about how fast a film goes from theaters to VOD. You knew somebody was going to not be cool with it. And AMC Theaters recently came out and saying that they have banned all Universal Pictures releases. This includes Candyman and the upcoming Halloween Kills. It's going to be very interesting to see how many more theaters join suit. Stay tuned. And I said one film would eventually move its release date back to 2021. And Lionsgate has officially moved back Spiral from the Book of Saw. That film is originally supposed to come out this month, but they've pushed it back until May 2021. Meaning we will not see a new Saw film this year. As Lionsgate's strategy, I believe, is that they're going to probably hold back on their releases until the situation gets better. I had a feeling one of those films would probably push their release date back. And I was right. Spiral from the Book of Saw will now be released May 21st, 2021. That means You will not see the next Saw film until 2021. And it appears that Lionsgate is just going to wait until theaters open back up, until they start releasing their major films again. So this is pretty much not a surprise, because I figured one of the four horror films I mentioned would move their release date back to 2021. And here it is. Spiral from the Book of Saw will not be released this year. With that, let's go on to what's Anthony T's watching. So, what is Anthony T watching? I was originally going to watch Veronica, the new Glenn Danzig movie that is rumored to be one of the worst movies of all time, as it's gotten a lot of comparisons to The Room. I teased it on my live stream recently that I was going to do it this episode, but I'm going to have to hold it off until next episode. Don't worry, I will still talk about this film because I have a obligation to talk about this film, because this might be the greatest guilty pleasure film of all time. Or maybe not. But you'll have to wait to next episode, because I just saw a film that is probably more insane, like Veronica. I am talking about Troma's latest release, Mutant Blast. The film recently made its way to VOD through Troma's new streaming service, Troma Now. This is a film I've been wanting to see ever since seeing that sick trailer for that film. It's like Glenn Danzig's Veronica, I had a very curious interest in wanting to see this film for better or worse. And before I go into my thoughts on this film, I'm going to say this right now. Mutant Blast is Troma's most craziest film ever. And yes, they've done some crazy films like Poltergeist, The Toxic Avenger, Return to Nukem High, Volume 2. But this really tops all of them. Seriously. Because this is what you have when you get to see Mutant Blast. You get a mutant lobster, a hideous, monstrous duck that is more hideous than the duck in Return to Nukem High Volume 2. You get a sword-wielding dolphin, and the absurdity continues. You get a giant, monster-sized rat. And, of course, you get superhuman strength soldiers and zombies. Oh, wait a minute. I can't say zombies, because the word zombies get bleeped out almost every time in this film. This film is so crazy. I loved it. This is definitely a top three Troma release. I never thought I would see a film that was not directed by Lloyd Kaufman be a crazy and whacked out film from start to finish, but Mutant Blast is that film. The film is a Portuguese action horror comedy directed by Fernando Alay. If I mispronounce it, I apologize, but this film really is making me crack up. His direction in this film was very good. This film may have no plot whatsoever, but I have to admit, a lot of the scenes were just so jaw-dropping that it does a great job keeping you glued to what is going on. Alay does a great job making sure that all the action and death scenes feel very gory, feel very and far out there. Seriously. This is definitely a film you really need to check out. This film also has some great humorous moments as well, plus the fact that it also has solid lead performances. Mutant Blast, by far, is up there as one of my favorite films of this year, because this is the most fun that I have had seeing a film. And this is, by far, my favorite non-Lloyd Kaufman-directed trauma film. Because this is a film that I'm going to be wanting the Blu-ray, like, now. Seriously. Please, Lloyd, release the Blu-ray of this film. I want the Blu-ray so bad. But I can go on and on about Mutant Blast, but we don't have much time here on this episode, so definitely rent or purchase Mutant Blast over on Troma Now, as that's the only place you will be able to find the film. Go to watch.troma.com and do Troma a favor and purchase this film, because I would like to see this film be rented or purchased in a good number, because I really want to see Lloyd Kaufman's latest film. And one of the ways we are going to see Lloyd Kaufman's latest Shakespearean effort, if this film does well on VOD. If this film does well on VOD, maybe we can get Uncle Lloyd to release his latest film on VOD. Because let's face it, back to my rant earlier on theaters. We don't know how many independent theaters are going to be left after all is said and done. So, us trauma fans really need to help support Mutant Blast, because if this does well, maybe we will see Shakespeare bleep storm a lot sooner. Because, quite frankly, we need to show Lloyd that us trauma fans are willing to rent and purchase first-run trauma films on their streaming service. Go to watch.trauma.com and definitely support Mutant Blast. Couple of quick things before I go. First, on Anthony T's Horror Show on Twitter, every Saturday night, you will see me live tweeting The Last Drive-In, because, well, I can't do it on Friday nights anymore. So I call this the day after The Last Drive-In. So definitely check it out every Saturday night at 6 p.m. Eastern. It will be going for pretty much all of The Last Drive-In, with the exception of May 23rd, because I have AEW viewing plans that night, meaning I'm not missing AEW for almost anything. Sorry, I love All Elite Wrestling. It's one of my favorite wrestling promotions. And won't have time on May 23rd to do the day after The Last Drive-In. But it will be every Saturday except May 23rd. You can go to Anthony T's Horror on Twitter. That's where you'll be able to find the day after The Last Drive-In, where I'll be tweeting about films that are played on The Last Drive-In. I will give some humorous commentary, some film facts about actors, and more. So definitely check out Anthony T's Horror Show on Twitter at Anthony T's Horror every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern, as I will be live tweeting on the official Twitter account for Anthony T's Horror. Also check out Film Arcade in the coming days, as I have a new review coming up. And with this new review coming up, I will also unveil the next guest at the same time. So keep an eye out on Facebook, because once that review goes up, I will reveal my guest for the next episode of Anthony T's Horror Show. So that should be up sometime, probably within a week. With that, I want to thank you for listening, as I'm going to try to get back to 2 weeks, as it's been a little tough getting shows out in a 2 week time frame, but I will be back to getting shows out in a 2 week time frame, hopefully starting next episode. With that, I want to thank you for listening. Have a good day. Stay safe and support indie horror.